Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Can you describe the ruckus, sir?
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number 2 here on Danny Dusty on a Friday afternoon. Dusty out, I don't know, probably enjoying life more than us, which I will hold against him.
Yeah.
Quite viscerally.
Yeah. He's probably out there cleaning his balls somewhere.
Yeah. Getting them wet.
On the golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you should have clarified. You should have just let it sit out there and have people go, what the hell did Jeff Ross say?
I like to retain gainful employment.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Where's the fun in that? Live a little. Inspact. In fact. Good luck. Inspact.
Yeah.
That's a new one.
Yeah. Inspact.
I talk for a living.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that.
Me good words.
Me words very, very, very. Just very. There's not anything. Just very.
Just very.
Well, if you like things more than words, like, I don't know, t-shirts, you can check out the new gear. And the Fan Merch Locker, 1080thefan.com. We now have the dirt and spray. God, what is going on with me today? I'm not even talking fast.
It's been a long few days for you.
I'm just,
you know,
broken. Good God, man. We now have the Dirt and Sprig Bacon and Football shirt in the Danny and Dusty Absolute Unit. Shirts up on the Fan Merch Lockers. All high quality tees, and the cost is just $25. You can still pick up your classic 1080 the Fan tee or the Isaac and Suk shirts. We also have dun dun dun, and they are flying off the shelf, so make sure you get them while you can. The Mike Lynch approved ALS support shirt, where you help Mike take a SWING swinge at ALS.
Yeah, I just ordered mine last night.
Attaboy. All the profits are going to Mike's GoFundMe account. You can get your classic fan tees now for the Fan Merch Locker, 1080thefan.com. For those of you watching along on YouTube.com, you can see the struggle on my face as I learn how to talk again. All right. So, let's do a full reset of the first transaction cycle of the 2024-2025 season. There are a couple different pronounced windows that exist every single year that spur action because something has to happen. One of them being the NBA draft. With the way that new CBA is allowed, you can now negotiate with your own free agents ahead of the open moratorium period, which starts on Sunday. That is the official start of NBA free agency, where you can talk to players that are not under contract or with other teams. That's the non-tampering period, right? There you go. The legal tampering that Jeff Ross hates so much.
I hate it.
With that in mind, that first period involved the Portland Trailblazers trading for Denny Avia, which we'll talk about in a minute, but also drafting UConn big man Donovan Clingan 7th overall. According to Kevin Pelton of ESPN, he has given that draft an A grade.
Hey.
His reasoning. After speculation they might trade up in pursuit of Clingan, the Blazers were able to stay at the 7th pick and get my 2nd ranked prospect. KP had Clingan number 2 overall on his draft board. Okay, I wrote a rather in-depth, not in crate, it's not like 4,000 words, it's like 1,500. Okay, it's a decent dive. My analysis, my evaluation of the transactions that were made over the past 48 hours. Trading for Avdija, drafting Donovan Clingan, trading the 34th pick for 3 seconds and selling off on picks 40 and 52. You can go to my Patreon, patreon.com/JackDramsey, if you want to get the deep dive into all of that stuff. One thing I would say, the reason I'm highlighting that is there's somebody out there, God, I want to make sure I get the name right, so let me pull it up. Jesse Waters? Hold on, while I'm continually looking that up.
Jesse James. Jesse Jackson.
Definitely don't Google Jesse James. Definitely don't.
What, the old American outlaw?
Yes, exactly. That one. Jesse Fisher.
There we go.
Jesse Fisher on Twitter. He had a data viz that had all of the NBA draft models versus actual picks. And by draft models, I mean all of the actual analytics models that were used and not mock draft boards. So these were models that were used to project where players could be drafted. According to that, Donovan Clingan's model ranking was number 1. In the aggregate. Across all models, he was first, second, first, second, fourth, first, third, second. So the lowest he ranked was 4th among all players in any particular model. So he came in at 1st on the models, and he was drafted 7th. And I want to highlight this, and this is one of the things I pointed out in the Patreon. This is kind of the deeper dive stuff. Kevin Pelton, KP, great dude, very smart guy. He came up with basically a generic, and we've had him on to talk about this specific thing as it pertains to this draft, the difference between the value at the top of this draft versus most others. And him and others around the NBA, I've asked this question of, and they've all said the same thing. This past draft was basically like if you cut off the first 5 prospects in like a top-end draft. That's where 1 was at 5. Okay, so KP has come up with this handy-dandy little chart where in a normal 1 through 60 draft, the first overall pick is worth 4,000 points.
Okay.
So if you're a team that's looking to trade up to 1 or you're taking the player that is worth 4,000 points, that would mean the second overall pick is worth 3,060. You would need to make up 940 points worth of value.
Gotcha.
Which would be about, you would need to have like the 2nd and 23rd picks.
Okay.
Combined just to make that value level.
Right.
But that's not going to be enough to make them. So you'd have to have probably the 2nd and the,
I would think around 10-ish.
Yeah. To move up to 1.
Yeah.
Okay. Give or take. Because you're not just going to give it up for the exact value. You're going to want to get extended value. With that said, if you were to start at 5th, it's 2,270 points. And then work your way down to 12th, which would be where the Blazers picked 7 picks later, that would be 1,650. So a difference of over 960 points.
Yeah.
So if you're saying that the Blazers got 960 points worth of value, which is the same as the difference in value between the 2nd and 23rd pick, that is a significant value cost move in getting that player there. I know a lot of people's brains just turned to mush as I went through that on the radio. People are just going, this is the stuff that I do in my spare time.
Yeah. Okay.
I look at a lot of different numbers. So with that in mind, it's not a shock that Donovan Clingan is going to be given that kind of grade. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, drafting Donovan Clingan with DeAndre Ayton on the roster does have implications going forward. Durton Sprague had Mike Richmond on the other day to talk about kind of where things could go from here. And this is what Richmond had to say as it pertained to the future of DeAndre Ayton.
I don't think it means much for DeAndre Ayton's immediate term. Like, I don't think they need to trade him in July if they draft a center, because it's maybe irresponsible to go into an NBA season with like Donovan Kling and Duop Reeve and Rob Williams as your center core. But I will say if you spend a high draft pick on a center in this draft, particularly Klingon or Edie, and particularly Klingon, because I don't know that Edie projects as like a 35-minute a night guy in the league, but maybe I'm wrong and Sprague's right. I think it just means that the long-term, medium-term future of DeAndre Ayton is probably not with the Blazers. He has this year and one other year under contract, and the following year under contract. If they were to take a center at 7, I think it would signal that his days are numbered, although I do believe he would play out the remainder of this season and they'd figure it out after that.
So there you go. I'm with you, or I'm with Mike there for the most part. I don't think there's anything imminent involving DeAndre Ayton. I do think that you're more than likely to see, if there is a move, if there is a transaction among the bigs, it is with Time Lord, it is with Robert Williams III. That is where I would expect that to go. But as I look around the landscape of the NBA and just examining the move that is drafting Donovan Kling at 7, almost no one has given this anything worse than a B+ grade. It is being universally looked at as great job, great move, great value. And it's nice as a franchise to have that, because let's say Klingon doesn't work. There's not a bunch of pushback on, well, they made the wrong pick. You know what I mean? There's always hindsight of this, that, or the other.
Right.
But when everyone is looking at this like, no, that's a great pick. It's great value. It makes sense. All of the things, you can at least trust that your process was the process and you went by the what made sense mm-hmm. for you. If you operate out of that, see Bennett, Anthony, it could come back to bite you in the butt a lot when you're talking about the worst number one overall pick in NBA history. Now, there's certain people out there that think Zachary Risacher could be that.
The worst?
Could pass Anthony Bennett up, which
Michael Oluwa Candy?
Still Bennett. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. But I think that's a good kind of cashing spot of like where they sit on the clinging part of the transaction. When we come back, we've got some audio from Mike Schmitz all the way back in the timeline before Denny Avdia was ever a Portland Trailblazer that we will take a look at that works as a nice little bit of both foresight and hindsight as it pertains to the Portland Trailblazers trading for Denny Avdia. That and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Beyond drafted Donovan McClain with the 7th overall pick, leading into the NBA draft, the Portland Trailblazers traded for Wizards wing Denny Avdia, 23-year-old, 6'9" forward, who addresses a ton of needs for the Portland Trailblazers. Shot creation, defense, size, athleticism, rebounding, contract status, age, all the kind of things that match up going forward, positional flexibility, all kinds of good stuff. Sorry, I was about to sneeze in there. And Mike Schmitz, assistant general manager of the Portland Trailblazers, had for over a decade a job with Draft Express, evaluating players. I mean, I've often joked with Mike, you need to make your Twitter account either private or delete the entire history. Because anytime they make a move for somebody, particularly a young guy, there's always a tweet for it. There's always a tweet you can go find, like, I wonder what Mike thought of this guy at any point in time. And just like that, Mike Schmitz did have a tweet with his thoughts on Denny Avdia back before the 2020 draft.
I think this is going to be the steal of the draft, to be honest. I think Denny Avdia, when we look back 5 years from now, we're going to see a guy who could be the best player even to come out of this draft. And it starts with his basketball IQ and his versatility. He's tremendous in the open court, and he has great size, 6'10". He's a fiery competitor, 225 pounds. He's tremendous getting downhill to his right. He's great attacking closeouts. He can really facilitate, and an underrated defender as well. He's very multi-positional on that end of the floor, and he can put you on a poster in space. He's really improved as a perimeter shooter as well. He can handle the ball. I think he has a chance to become not just a 3-and-D type of wing, but a guy who can also be a secondary playmaker as well. I love his upside.
That's Mike Schmitz talking about Denny Avdia going into the 2020 NBA draft, saying he could possibly come out and be the best player in that draft. That right now, the best player in that draft is Anthony Edwards. The second best player in that draft is Tyrese Haliburton. Two really good players. The third best is probably Desmond Bane at pick number 30. I'm trying to scroll through here and see if there's anybody else in here that's going to jump off the page at me. No, it's not CJ Ellaby. Turns out the guy that the Portland Trailblazers drafted 46th overall that nobody had in their top 100. Not on that list. Other notable players in this draft, obviously LaMelo Ball, Patrick Williams, Onyeka Okongwu, Devin Vassell with the Spurs, Cole Anthony with the Magic. Sadiq Bey was good until his knee blew up. Tyrese Maxey with the 76ers. Emmanuel Quickley, who just signed a massive deal with the Toronto Raptors. I don't see Avdia as obviously the best player in this draft, but I'll tell you right now, number one, it's a really good draft. Number two, Avdia is a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's an interesting spot. I'm going to share this. I found this the other day, and I didn't put it on Twitter, and I probably won't because it's kind of funny, if I'm being honest. So anytime I'm looking at players and I want to get a better idea of where they sit kind of holistically in the NBA, I will use StatHead, which is the service that scrapes through Basketball Reference.
Okay.
So you can, you know, sort and look through all of the records, right?
Right.
And I will put in those numbers from that season to kind of go, okay, what kind of season was this historically? So Denny Avdia last season averaged 14 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 50% from the field, 37% from the free throw line. So those are all pretty good numbers. He's also 6'9". So what I did is I put all those numbers in, and then I said, okay, let's see what this looks like for all players over 6'7". I wanted to give it a little bit of wiggle room, right? Because I like to have a general understanding of, like, all right, like, of big wings, or even bigs for that matter, what players have had seasons like this since 2010? Basically, like, when you started to see the modern NBA as we know it start to pivot, mm-hmm. right? That it still includes some, like, we'll take some threes, but we're going to take a lot more mid-rangers, too. Care to guess who popped up on that list? There's 13 players.
Okay.
13 players are on this list, Jeff Russ, between 2010 and now. 14, 7, and 3, 50% from the field, 30, 7% from three.
Okay.
13 players. Just give me some names who you think would be on this list.
And is there a height requirement as well?
6'7 or above.
6'7 or above.
6'7 or above.
Oh, boy. I mean, my feeling is you're setting me up to tee up some super big names here.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to think height-wise who would be in there at 6'7 or above. I mean, are you going to have like a Paul George?
Surprisingly not on this list.
No. A Kawhi?
Who?
Kawhi.
Yes.
Okay.
Kawhi is on this list. He has done it three times.
Okay. Maybe an Anthony Davis?
No.
No?
3-point percentage is not high enough.
Okay.
His teammate.
LeBron?
LeBron yeah. James is on this list. He has done it three times.
So I'm guessing we've got some Hall of Famers on there, should I say?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, the list rings as Hall of Famer, really great, Hall of Famer, really great, Hall of Famer, Denny Avdia, young player, Tobias Harris, good player, good player, good player. A lot more Hall of Famers on there than
yeah.
The reason I didn't put this out was because I was like, oh God, I can't put this out. This will set the expectation unreasonably high.
Right.
But the list is, and it's sorted by the number of times a player has done this.
Okay.
Number one, Kevin Durant.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Tall, shoot well, rebound well.
Yes.
Okay. Number two, Hawaii. Number three, Big Cat, Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay.
Shoots well, rebounds well, scores well, assists well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
LeBron James. All those guys have done it three times.
Okay.
Domantas Sabonis.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He has done it twice.
Okay.
Nikola Jokic, twice.
He's all right.
Al Horford, twice.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone on that list, save Sabonis and Towns, is a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
You have arguably the greatest player of all time.
Right.
And you have probably a top 10, 12 player of all time in Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Okay. Granted, the level that they're doing it at is significantly higher
yes.
than Denny Avdia.
Right.
Okay. But what gets interesting is the next group of players. And these are all the players that have done it once along with Denny. Evan Mobley, Tobias Harris, Gordon Hayward, Blake Griffin, Lamar Odom.
And I'm guessing that Gordon Hayward season was a pre-freak injury.
No, it actually was later.
Really?
2019-20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, wow.
Well, hey, good for him.
Yeah. But again, that's the kind of player I have been begging Portland to try to go out and find.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this so much. The whole playmaking with size is the hardest thing to find. When you look at all those guys, what is the thing that comes up? So much outside of probably Durant, it's the playmaking.
Yeah,
Jokic, a high level passer. Horford, high level passer. Sabonis, high level passer. LeBron, Kawhi, all Gordon Hayward, Lamar Odom. These are all guys that have high level passing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like Denny was out there, dropping eight assists a game. It was three.
Yeah,
but when you're talking about when guys get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have the ball as much because the skill set necessary to be effective while being that big is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen all that often. The other part of this is his efficiency level, 50 and 37, is very high.
Right.
And the reason why you're seeing this being so high is because if you notice, a lot of these guys are very, 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 very good rim finishers, which Denny Avdia is a very good rim finisher. The difference for him and the change for him this season was that he took his three-point shooting from 32% to 37%, from well below league average to above league average. Why? Because he shot nearly 50% from the corners.
That's pretty good.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
There's going to be some regression there. Unfortunately, that's going to happen. What you hope for is that maybe his above the break 3-point percentage comes up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of how you offset. I think he'll be a 36% 3-point shooter. I don't expect probably the 37%, but this is where when we talk about Denny Avdia, and you hear the Mike Smith's, he went full Christian Peake there.
Yeah.
He let it all hang out. He put him on the block. I think this guy has the upside to be the best player in this class. And that's, you're talking about a class that featured Anthony Edwards, who everybody's like, this dude is a hooper. that it featured LaMelo Ball. James Wiseman notwithstanding, there's a lot of guys in this class.
You had a Tyrese Maxey in there.
Yeah. And you Halliburton, Vassell, like you've got some players in this group. And so
even down at the end of it, the 58 pick, you even had B-Ball Paul.
Yeah. I mean, you've got some guys in here. Portland Trailblazers legend Reggie Perry picked right in front of him. His 10-year or his 10-day contract notwithstanding. But yeah, I mean, you take a look at how these things have all played out. And it's very funny. You can always find a Mike Schmidt's tweet. If it's a young guy, just go ahead and take a look. Let me see what Mike said about this back then. Get a better understanding of this.
Absolutely.
All right, coming up next. Our worst day on the web. We're going to keep it in the basketball world. Playing overseas, not for everyone. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with a Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
Former Portland Trailblazer Noah Vonleh, a guy who I thought was going to be really good in the NBA, has currently been playing over in China, but apparently is having some troubles with the organization he is playing with. The Chinese Basketball Association's Shanghai Sharks, a team that is pretty well known and has worked with a lot of American players, is shedding some light, supposedly, on a very disturbing year in which most recently a bunch of people, he says, tried to break into his hotel room in China. This all started in which his team and the general manager attempted to have him removed from a hotel room after attending a Sharks game shortly after the Chinese Basketball Association's CBA All-Star game back in March. So Vonleh tells reporters that the Sharks general manager sent people to his room to try to force him out of there. He said they sent people to try... there's six people coming to my room trying to break in and grab me out of the room. They're using weapons to try and break it in, threatening me and saying all kinds of things. Vonleh has a picture of an instrument that it looks like a torture device that they used to get into his room and like flip the peephole open to see what was going on. I don't know, man. It looks like a prison shank of prison shanks.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Right? Like, yeah. There's a lot going on there. This is clearly a device that was not made up in haste.
Right.
Like, it looks like they've used this before.
Like, I saw something, a video clip of, I don't remember where it was, but of somebody trying to break into a hotel room, they slip something under the door, like a magnetic, you know, loop hook of some sort, and then use a magnet on the other side to try to get it up there and grab the door handle and pull it down.
It looks like the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Here, right?
But going through the peephole is a weird one.
Yeah, I mean, I've never like stayed in Chinese hotels, so yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah,
they might have the different stuff there.
I guess a lot of time you don't have that gap at the bottom of the door between that and the floor, though, too, in hotel rooms.
Yeah,
this way tend to seal pretty well.
Yeah, I think probably because of this reason,
right?
Yeah, if you ever want to know, just like go to Vegas, they'll tell you why anything exists in a hotel room.
Yeah,
so. Vonleh says his trouble started and stemmed from an injury and kind of the injury recovery process. Vonleh says the Sharks tried to rush me back many times and told team doctors and doctors outside of the team to lie to me and tell me I'm okay to play. He said he sent his MRIs to doctors and officials back stateside who said, nah, man, you need to chill. You're not ready to play. As a result, Vonleh says his fully guaranteed contract was voided February 26, but that he continued to try to fight for his full earnings. There's more. Vonleh added the Sharks reported to his agent that he was not attending practices, but the league's review didn't align with what the team was saying. Vonleh says the league saw, based off security footage, that they were wrong and should have never terminated the contract. I was present at practice every day. Okay.
Okay.
Vonleh is now saying it's by far the worst organization that I've ever been a part of. Very unprofessional. Oh, boy.
That's not like it's, you know, unlike the Chinese to do anything untoward.
For those wondering, yes, there are two former NBA players beyond Noah Vonleh on that team. Eric Bledsoe and Dwayne Bacon are on that team.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're getting their checks. So I've heard horror stories about players playing overseas in the past. somebody I know very well, worked with for a while, played overseas, former professional, played all over. He ended up getting injured once, came back from that injury, didn't get paid through the recovery time. They like canceled his contract and then brought him back when he came back to avoid paying him. Didn't cover his health insurance. Sweet. Super cool. And when he came back to play for the team, he went in one day and everything was just locked. It wasn't that he wasn't getting paid. It's because the team folded in the middle of the night and the owner basically locked everything, took everything and left.
Oh, geez.
That happens. Like outside of this, this isn't supposed to, these kind of things aren't supposed to happen in the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association, not the collective bargaining agreement, but they still do. Unfortunately, they still do. In Europe, once you get outside the Spanish league and Euro League basketball, you hear about these. Now, the mega clubs, like, excuse me, a club called Mega, you're not going to run into this. But you're still running into, like, teams not paying players or agents not getting cuts or a lot of deception and manipulation that you typically come across in second and third world nations.
Yeah.
Turns out basketball, not the priority. Or, you know, if you're in Russia and you bring your freaking vape pen, you can go to jail. Brian Griner. I often say it is not a shame to go play overseas. You can make really good money. If you are Mario Hezonja and you are 25 years old and you're getting paid $5 to $7 million a year to play for Olympiakos, to be a young single 25-year-old in Greece making $5 to $7 million a year, which let me double check. I'm going to say the dollar to lira. No, lira's Greece. God, I'm getting my they're euro now.
Okay.
So if you go back, God, before the euro really crashed, took off, it was the euro was slightly ahead in 2022, but now it's about 0.9 to 1.
Gotcha.
But there was a time when it was like 8. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But back in, you know, pre-euro incorporation, Greece was in economic hell.
Yeah.
And if you're making $1 million,
yeah,
buddy,
you were doing okay in Greece,
buddy.
Yeah.
There was a report out there that a let's get a little dark here real quick, that a former French millionaire committed suicide in Vietnam. I want to say it was Vietnam. And they left $2.7 million to their maid. And it's so $2.7 million is so much money that the Vietnamese government is like, we don't know if you can legally inherit that much at once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So it's like there's a streamer that gave a taxi driver, a video game streamer, gave a taxi driver in an African nation like $6,000. And he, by doing that, he made that man a literal millionaire.
Oh, wow. Man.
Yeah, because of the exchange rates and currencies.
Right.
And living conditions and all the things that are going to go with that. I had somebody tell me that basically for $800 to $1,000 a month, you could live like a god king in Vietnam. And if it's like, if you're even, if you're at like $1,500 to $2,000 for like your house, like you have trouble finding a place like that because it's essentially a castle.
Yeah.
Which, you know, not that way in China. Just for anyone wondering, most of those domiciles, very tiny, stacked on top of each other, even in the nicest of regions. It's very hard to find.
There's a lot of people there.
Yeah, it turns out, particularly in those big old cities like Shanghai. Although, did you know the housing market in Japan? Still quite nice.
Yes, is it?
If you're, and also Japan is a nation that allows foreigners to buy property.
Oh, wow.
So in case you know you want to take all that big time Odyssey money and go buy a house in Japan,
yeah,
Airbnb that sucker.
I'm still waiting for that big time Odyssey money.
Oh, yeah. You too? An Odyssey station. But yeah, this is a roundabout way of saying sometimes not playing in the USA can be mildly problematic, or you know, turn to try to what sounds like a attempted kidnapping.
Right, man. Yeah, that had to be scary.
Like, if you're Noah Vonleh, you're 6'10", you're built like a Greek god, and you're in a hotel room, and you're tripping balls, how do you think the normal person's doing?
Right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yikes, no, dog. All right, so that's our worst day on the web. Yeah, don't play, apparently, in China right now, unless you're if you're Noah Vonleh. I guess the moral of the story is don't try to have injuries when you're in China, because, you know, they don't like that.
Yeah. They want your roster spot.
There's a, I can't say what I want to say. I'll leave it at that. Coming up next, we're monitoring the bodies of water in France, and it's still a problem ahead of the Olympics, and we're only a month away. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. My name may be Meringue, but I'm not a fan of the French. Just kidding. I love French basketball players. The people, a little much.
Ha, ha, ha.
Exactly, that part. In all seriousness, tests show that Paris's Seine River still has unsafe E. coli levels, with Olympics less than a month away, is the headline splashed across the Associated Press website right now. The Poo River is still the Poo River.
Yikes.
And the protesters
even
haven't
Cleveland's
even started.
Going, man, that river's bad.
Yeah, I don't know if this one's flammable. I don't know if this one's flammable, but, like, it is stinky. You and I were talking about this off air, and not necessarily the Poo River, but the general idea of competitions in open bodies of water, particularly ones like rivers that have currents. How do they adjust for, like, world records?
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, in a pool, sure, there's no current in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody, it's yeah.
Unless you're Michael Phelps and you have flippers for feet.
Yeah.
Or Katie Ledecky, who apparently, we have got to talk about her at some point.
How is
have
she?
You seen the world? It's not the U.S. record. It's the world record chart. She literally owns the 20 best times.
Yeah. She's beating people by 20 seconds at the trials.
Good God.
It's ridiculous. I mean, this might be hyperbole and just recency bias. I don't know that we've really ever seen something.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
Former Portland Trailblazer Noah Vonleh, a guy who I thought was going to be really good in the NBA, has currently been playing over in China, but apparently is having some troubles with the organization he is playing with. The Chinese Basketball Association's Shanghai Sharks, a team that is pretty well known and has worked with a lot of American players, is shedding some light, supposedly, on a very disturbing year in which most recently a bunch of people, he says, tried to break into his hotel room in China. This all started in which his team and the general manager attempted to have him removed from a hotel room after attending a Sharks game shortly after the Chinese Basketball Association's CBA All-Star Game back in March. So Vonleh tells reporters that the Sharks general manager sent people to his room to try to force him out of there. He said they sent people to try... There's six people coming to my room trying to break in and grab me out of the room. They're using weapons to try and break it in, threatening me and saying all kinds of things. Vonleh has a picture of an instrument that it looks like a torture device that they used to get into his room and like flip the peephole open to see what was going on. I don't know, man. It looks like a prison shank of prison shanks.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Right? Like, yeah. There's a lot going on there. This is clearly a device that was not made up in haste.
Right.
Like, it looks like they've used this before.
Like, I saw something, a video clip of, I don't remember where it was, but of somebody trying to break into a hotel room, they slip something under the door, like a magnetic, you know, loop hook of some sort, mm-hmm. and then use a magnet on the other side to try to get it up there and grab the door handle and pull it down.
It looks like the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Here, right?
But going through the peephole is a weird one.
Yeah, I mean, I've never like stayed in Chinese hotels, so yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah,
they might have the different stuff there.
I guess a lot of time you don't have that gap at the bottom of the door between that and the floor, though, too, in hotel rooms.
Yeah, this
way you tend to seal pretty well.
Yeah, I think probably because of this reason,
right?
Yeah, if you ever want to know, just like go to Vegas, they'll tell you why anything exists in a hotel room.
Yeah,
so. Vonleh says his trouble started and stemmed from an injury and kind of the injury recovery process. Vonleh says, the Sharks tried to rush me back many times and told team doctors and doctors outside of the team to lie to me and tell me I'm okay to play. He said he sent his MRIs to doctors and officials back stateside who said, nah, man, you need to chill. You're not ready to play. As a result, Vonleh says his fully guaranteed contract was voided February 26, but that he continued to try to fight for his full earnings. There's more. Vonleh added the Sharks reported to his agent that he was not attending practices, but the league's review didn't align with what the team was saying. Vonleh says the league saw, based off security footage, that they were wrong and should have never terminated the contract. I was present at practice every day. Okay.
Okay.
Vonleh is now saying it's by far the worst organization that I've ever been a part of. Very unprofessional. Oh, boy.
That's not like it's, you know, unlike the Chinese to do anything untoward.
For those wondering, yes, there are two former NBA players beyond Noah Vonleh on that team. Eric Bledsoe and Dwayne Bacon are on that team.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're getting their checks. So I've heard horror stories about players playing overseas in the past. Somebody I know very well, worked with for a while, played overseas, former professional. Played mm-hmm. all over. He ended up getting injured once, came back with an injury, didn't get paid through the recovery time. They like canceled his contract and then brought him back when he came back to avoid paying him. Didn't cover his health insurance.
Sweet.
Super cool. And when he came back to play for the team, he went in one day and everything was just locked. It wasn't that he wasn't getting paid. It's because the team folded in the middle of the night and the owner basically locked everything, took everything and left.
Oh, jeez.
That happens. Like, outside of this, this isn't supposed to, these kind of things aren't supposed to happen in the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association, not the collective bargaining agreement, but they still do. Unfortunately, they still do. In Europe, once you get outside the Spanish League and Euro League basketball, you hear about these. Now, the mega clubs, mm-hmm. like, excuse me, a club called Mega.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to run into this, but you're still running into like teams not paying players or agents not getting cuts or a lot of deception and manipulation that you typically come across in second and third world nations.
Yeah.
Turns out basketball, not the priority. Or, you know, if you're in Russia and you bring your freaking vape pen, you can go to jail. Brian
yeah.
Griner. I often say it is not a shame to go play overseas. You can make really good money. If you are Mario Hezonja and you are 25 years old and you're getting paid $5 to $7 million a year to play for Olympiakos, to be a young single 25-year-old in Greece making $5 to $7 million a year, which let me double check. I'm going to say the dollar to lira. No, lira's Greece. God, I'm getting my no. They're euro now.
Okay.
So if you go back, God, before the euro really crashed, took off, it was the euro was slightly ahead in 2022, but now it's about 0.9 to 1.
Gotcha.
But there was a time when it was like 8. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But back in, you know, pre-euro incorporation, Greece was in economic hell.
Yeah.
And if you're making $1 million,
mm-hmm. yeah,
buddy,
you were doing okay in Greece,
buddy.
Yeah.
There was a report out there that a let's get a little dark here real quick, that a former French millionaire committed suicide in Vietnam. I want to say it was Vietnam. And they left $2.7 million to their maid.
Uh-huh.
And it's so $2.7 million is so much money that the Vietnamese government is like, we don't know if you can legally inherit that much at once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So it's like there's a streamer that gave a taxi driver, a video game streamer, mm-hmm. gave a taxi driver in an African nation like $6,000.
Uh-huh.
And he, by doing that, he made that man a literal millionaire.
Oh, wow. Man.
And because of the exchange rates and currencies.
Right.
And living conditions and all the things that are going to go with that. I had somebody tell me that basically for $800 to $1,000 a month, you could live like a god king mm-hmm. in Vietnam. And if it's like, if you're at like $1,500 to $2,000 for like your house, like you have trouble finding a place like that because it's essentially a castle.
Yeah.
Which, you know, not that way in China. Just for anyone wondering, most of those domiciles, very tiny. Stacked on top of each other, even yes. in the nicest of regions. It's very hard to find.
There's a lot of people there.
Yeah, it turns out, particularly in those big old cities like Shanghai. Although, did you know the housing market in Japan? Still quite nice.
Yes, is it?
If you're, and also Japan is a nation that allows foreigners to buy property.
Oh, wow.
So in case you know, you want to take all that big time Odyssey money and go buy a house in Japan.
Yeah.
Airbnb that sucker.
I'm still waiting for that big time Odyssey money.
Oh, yeah. You too? An Odyssey station. But yeah, this is a roundabout way of saying sometimes not playing in the USA can be mildly problematic or, you know, turn to try to what sounds like a attempted kidnapping.
Right. Man. Yeah, that had to be scary.
Like if you're Noah Vonleh, you're 6'10", you're built like a Greek god and you're in a hotel room and you're tripping balls. How do you think the normal person's doing?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yikes, no, dog. All right. So that's our worst day on the web. Yeah. Don't play apparently in China right now. Unless you're, if you're Noah Vonleh, I guess the moral of the story is don't try to have injuries when you're in China because, you know, they don't like that.
Yeah. They want your roster spot.
There's a, I can't say what I want to say. I'll leave it at that. Coming up next, we're monitoring the bodies of water in France. And it's still a problem ahead of the Olympics, and we're only a month away. Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan. My name may be Meringue, but I'm not a fan of the French. Just kidding. I love French basketball players. The people, a little much. Ha, ha, ha. Exactly, that part. In all seriousness, tests show that Paris's Seine River still has unsafe E. coli levels with Olympics less than a month away is the headline splashed across the Associated Press website right now. The Poo River is still the Poo River.
Yikes.
And the protesters
even Cleveland's going, man, that river's bad.
Yeah, I don't know if this one's flammable. I don't know if this one's flammable. But, like, it is stinky. You and I were talking about this off air, and not necessarily the Poo River, but the general idea of competitions in open bodies of water. Particularly ones like rivers that have currents. How do they adjust for, like, world records?
Yeah. That's one thing. Like in a pool, sure, there's no current in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody, it's yeah.
Unless you're Michael Phelps and you have flippers for feet.
Yeah.
Or Katie Ledecky, who apparently, we have got to talk about her at some point.
How is
have
she?
You seen the world? It's not the U.S. record. It's the world record chart. She literally owns the 20 best times.
Yeah. She's beating people by 20 seconds at the trials.
Good God.
It's ridiculous. I mean, this might be hyperbole and just recency bias. I don't know that we've really ever seen somebody dominate
the level of dominance. Yes. No, this is like swimming's supposed to be a sport where it's like, there's a reason they have the split second camera of like touching the wall.
Right, yeah. But it's like, she's swimming with third graders.
I just immediately pictured Jeff Foxworthy swimming against third graders.
Are you faster than a third grader?
There are clips of her halfway down the pool, already through the turn, when other swimmers are getting to the turn.
Yeah.
It's otherworldly level domination. Like, I don't know what to do with that. I think it's the same kind of thing, and it's a lesser recognized sport, like that what Caitlin Clark was doing to women's basketball. Mm-hmm. Like the level of dominance, the thing she is doing and stretching the basketball court and taking threes at a level that no other woman has. Katie Ledecky is doing that in women's swimming. She's like, she is Steph Currying swimming. Yeah. Like, she's just taking it so far out to the extremes in the dominance that you're like,
yeah. It was like,
how
one of those.
What the hell are you doing?
I don't remember which early major it was where Tiger won by 8 strokes, but like that.
Yes. And you're like, you're allowed to
was
do that?
Masters?
I think it was Masters. 2000 Masters?
Something like that. Right around there.
It all blends together. I'm getting far too old.
Yes. Well, so is Tiger.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, he's older than me even, so.
Shots on my guy wearing Sunday red. Have you seen a single person wearing that yet?
No, I don't like it. I don't like the logo.
I'm okay with it.
Like, I get the name and the Sunday red. That's great, but I just,
Have you seen Asia Wilson's WNBA Nike logo?
No.
Okay, we'll find a way to talk about that at some point in time.
Gotcha.
Because there's, she's getting killed for her logo, and, well, it sucks.
Okay, I'll take a look at it during the break.
It sucks. And everyone's like, you don't like it because she's a woman. It's like, no, I don't like it because it sucks. Like, we like Wemby's logo because it was dope as hell.
Right?
Like, there's been plenty of shoes and logos where, like, that looks like ass. Like, it just, I don't know what's going on. It looks like it was created in Microsoft Paint. But I digress. The Pooh River is still the Pooh River. And this article is from this morning. Unsafe levels of E. coli have been found in the Seine River for the third consecutive week, according to tests published Friday, less than a month before the Olympics. I don't know what this means, but this is the testing. This test results, monitored by Eau de Paris, which is kind of funny because, you know, the toilet.
Yes.
Reveal contaminations level consistently above the safe limit of 900 colony forming units. The E. coli colony forming unit, 900 of them per 100 milliliters, determined by the World Triathlon Federation for competitions.
Boy, 100 milliliters, too. That's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
That is not a lot.
So.
Man.
Because what's a.
Well, no, 100 milliliters,
60,
that's like,
it's like 32 ounces.
Oh, was it that much?
I mean, it's still not, I mean, that's not that much, man. So a 600. God, can I just talk right today? 16 fluid ounces is 473 milliliters. So we're talking like 34 ounces, give or take. That's not that much. That means they're just like, hey, scoop in a can kind of a deal and testing it. And they're going, nah, dog, this ain't good. They're not testing like a giant sample. You know what I mean?
Wait, no. So 100 milliliters is 3.38 fluid ounces.
Oh, that's it. Why does it say 473 on my can for 16 fluid ounces?
Because that's... Yeah, because it says 400 and some milliliters, not 100.
Oh, you're right.
I've got a unit converter pulled up right here on the Googles.
I was thinking 600 because I had 600 in my brain.
Gotcha.
I didn't read this right.
Yeah, so 3.3.
Let me do the math here.
So 3/4 of a cup.
Yes, 3/4 of a cup. It's very, very small samples. Thank you.
Yeah. And because 900.
I'm the math guy. That's the day that I'm having. Okay. I'm not having a stroke. Shout out everybody on the Vancouver Vortex line. Will we be able to tell if Danny was having a stroke? No. No, it would just sound like me being a normal idiot. That's where we're at. Persistent rainfall has exacerbated the issue as rainfall infiltrates the sewer system, leading to the discharge of fecal bacteria into the Seine. Remember when this story first came out and I was like, hey, Paris is a really disgusting city with one of the oldest indoor plumbing systems in the world?
Yeah, guess what?
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, that's rearing its ugly head.
It's rearing its crappy head. It is, look, the idea of Paris, the city of love, romantic Eiffel Tower, sure, it is a filthy old city. It's nasty.
They're doo-doo.
Yes, nasty. Okay? It is what it is. It's terrible. Here, oh, God. A 50,000 cubic meter reservoir inaugurated in May to store excess rainwater, was used for the first time on June 18th and 19th, preventing 40,000 cubic meters of wastewater from seeping into the Seine. You think the Willamette has got turds floating in it? There's literal turds floating in the Seine.
Man.
And people are supposed to
swim. And that was without the protests happening.
Right? And that's the thing is, what happens when these French people all hopped up on cappuccino and croissants decide to go take a big old carb poop?
That brie cheese has got to affect you somehow.
Right? That's a lot of fromage. Goodness gracious. I almost cursed in French. And can we do that?
Oh, man.
I mean, no, I mean, can you get a violation for profanity in another language?
I don't know.
I'm not going to test it.
But it's like the old Eddie Murphy when he said, yeah, the French, I think it was Eddie Murphy, said the French can make anything sound fancy.
Yeah, right. they literally painted a white stripe on a rapey cat and made it a cartoon. Make him, yeah, he goes, they just make it French and it's fine.
Yeah, you don't see a whole lot of Pepe Le Pew these days, do you?
You know what I mean? Like...
Does this frag smell funny?
Yeah. A lot of that going on. Go back and watch some cartoons from not that long ago, and folks, it gets a little dicey.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the last line of this AP article. Water quality of rivers in major cities can be impacted by many things, from runoff to dumping of chemicals, sometimes illegally, and boat traffic. As if to say, like, the Seine River's not bad, even though it's full of literal crap.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh,
hey, Olympians, come swim.
It's, yeah. And but again, circling back to the whole like open body of water.
Yeah.
How do they, like, how does that count?
I mean, can they measure it, like, you know, in the track and field events where something is wind aided, or, you know, can they measure the current and
I mean,
the speed of that?
I mean, sure you can, but it's like, I've always wondered with like the Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are going to laugh. I have a lifetime goal of completing an Iron Man. I lose another human being of weight off me, and my knees somehow get replaced.
Yeah.
But
we'll have to go Steve Austin on you.
Exactly.
Not Stone Cold.
No. The other one. Yes. Billion Dollar Man. But I've always wondered, like, there's one in Coeur d'Alene where you swim the lake in Coeur d'Alene, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
Yeah.
But in Hawaii, you go out into the ocean.
Yes.
Like, I know we're measuring everybody in the ocean, but, like, not all waves are the same. Not all, like, riptides are the same. Like,
right.
There's so many, it's like, it's not a controlled body of water.
Exactly, yeah.
So how does that, like, can you set a world record in a triathlon? Like, no, that water temperature. Like, some people just, like, the water's real cold.
Yeah.
How are you going to get through that?
How do you account for uncontrollable variance?
It's super, super weird when I think that you brought that up. I'd never really thought about it in that vein, but yeah, now I'm less worried about how the body of water aids or is detrimental
mm-hmm.
on the physical like stuff and more. I'm like, well, I guess in the physical stuff because, you know, crap and E. coli.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look, everybody's like, well, you swim with your mouth closed.
Ugh. Yeah. You're still getting a little bit up there in your nose.
You're still going to... Oh God, that's not a fake gag. Oh God, that what? Yeah. Goodness gracious. All right, we're going to pivot back to free agency in the NBA here in hour number three. Brian Windhorst was on ESPN earlier, and he had some, he's not reporting, but some, had some interesting things to say about the way the Clippers are conducting things around Paul George here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. My name may be Meringue, but I'm not a fan of the French. Just kidding. I love French basketball players. The people, a little much. Ha, ha, ha. Exactly, that part. In all seriousness, tests show that Paris's Seine River still has unsafe E. coli levels, with Olympics less than a month away, is the headline splashed across the Associated Press website right now. The Poo River is still the Poo River.
Yikes.
And the protesters
even
haven't
Cleveland's
even started.
Going, man, that river's bad.
Yeah, I don't know if this one's flammable. But, like, it is stinky. You and I were talking about this off air, and not necessarily the Poo River, but the general idea of competitions in open bodies of water, particularly ones like rivers that have currents. How do they adjust for, like, world records?
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, in a pool, sure, there's no current in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody, it's yeah.
Unless you're Michael Phelps and you have flippers for feet.
Yeah.
Or Katie Ledecky, who apparently, we have got to talk about her at some point.
How is
have
she?
You seen the world? It's not the U.S. record. It's the world record chart. She literally owns the 20 best times.
Yeah. She's beating people by 20 seconds at the trials.
Good God.
It's ridiculous. I mean, this might be hyperbole and just recency bias. I don't know that we've really ever seen somebody dominate
the level of
level.
Dominance. Yes. No, this is like swimming's supposed to be a sport where it's like there's a reason they have the split second camera of like touching the wall.
Right, yeah. But it's like she's swimming with third graders.
I just immediately pictured Jeff Foxworthy swimming against third graders.
Are you faster than a third grader?
There are clips of her halfway down the pool, already through the turn, when other swimmers are getting to the turn.
Yeah.
It's otherworldly level domination. Like, I don't know what to do with that. I think it's the same kind of thing, and it's a lesser recognized sport, like that what Caitlin Clark was doing to women's basketball. Mm-hmm. Like the level of dominance, the thing that she is doing and stretching the basketball court and taking threes at a level that no other woman has. Katie Ledecky is doing that in women's swimming. She's like, she is Steph Currying swimming. Yeah. Like she's just taking it so far out to the extremes in the dominance that you're like,
yeah. It was like
how
one
the
of those,
hell are you doing?
I don't remember which early major it was where Tiger won by 8 strokes, but like that.
Yes. And you're like, you're allowed to
was
do that?
Masters?
I think it was Masters. Been. 2000 Masters?
Something like that. Right around there.
It all blends together. I'm getting far too old.
Yes. Well, so is Tiger.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, he's older than me even, so.
Shots on my guy wearing Sunday red. Have you seen a single person wearing that yet?
No, I don't like it. I don't like the logo.
I'm okay with it.
Like, I get the name and the Sunday red. That's great, but I just,
Have you seen Asia Wilson's WNBA and Nike logo?
No.
Okay, we'll find a way to talk about that at some point in time.
Gotcha.
Because there's, she's getting killed for her logo, and, well, it sucks.
Okay, I'll take a look at it during the break.
It sucks. And everyone's like, you don't like it because she's a woman. It's like, no, I don't like it because it sucks. Like, we like Wemby's logo because it was dope as hell.
Right?
Like, there's been plenty of shoes and logos where, like, that looks like ass. Like, it just, I don't know what's going on. It looks like it was created in Microsoft Paint. But I digress. The Poo River is still the Poo River. And this article is from this morning. Unsafe levels of E. coli have been found in the Seine River for the third consecutive week, according to tests published Friday, less than a month before the Olympics. I don't know what this means, but this is the testing. This test results monitored by Eau de Paris, which is kind of funny because, you know, the toilet.
Yes.
Reveal contaminations level consistently above the safe limit of 900 colony forming units. The E. coli colony forming unit. 900 of them per 100 milliliters determined by the World Triathlon Federation for competitions.
Boy, 100 milliliters, too. That's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
That is not a lot.
So.
Man.
Because what's a...
Well, no, 100 milliliters, 60, that's like...
It's like 32 ounces.
Oh, is it that much?
I mean, it's still not... I mean, that's not that much, man. So a 600... 600... God, can I just talk right today? 16 fluid ounces is 473 milliliters. So we're talking like 34 ounces,
mm-hmm.
give or take. That's not that much. That means they're just like, hey, scooping a can kind of a deal and testing it. And they're going, nah, dog, this ain't good. They're not testing like a giant sample. You know what I mean?
Wait, no, no, no. So 100 milliliters is 3.38 fluid ounces.
Oh, that's it. Why does it say 473 on my can for 16 fluid ounces?
Because that's, yeah, because it says 400 and some milliliters, not 100.
Oh, you're right.
I've got a unit converter pulled up right here on the Googles.
I was thinking 600 because I had 600 in my brain.
Gotcha.
I didn't read this right.
Yeah, so 3.3.
Let me do the math
so
here.
So 3/4 of a cup.
Yes, 3/4 of a cup. That's very, very small samples. Thank you.
Yeah, and because 900.
I'm the math guy. That's the day that I'm having. Okay, I'm not having a stroke. Shout out everybody on the Vancouver Vortex line. Will we be able to tell if Danny was having a stroke? No. No, it would just sound like me being a normal idiot. That's where we're at. Persistent rainfall has exacerbated the issue as rainfall infiltrates the sewer system, leading to the discharge of fecal bacteria into the Seine. Remember when this story first came out and I was like, hey, Paris is a really disgusting city with one of the oldest indoor plumbing systems in the world?
Yeah, guess what?
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, that's rearing its ugly head.
It's rearing its crappy head. It is, look. The idea of Paris, the city of love, romantic Eiffel Tower, sure, it is a filthy old city. It's nasty.
They're doo-doo.
Yes, nasty. Okay? It is what it is. It's terrible. Here, oh, God. A 50,000 cubic meter reservoir inaugurated in May to store excess rainwater, was used for the first time on June 18th and 19th, preventing 40,000 cubic meters of wastewater from seeping into the Seine. You think the Willamette has got turds floating in it? There's literal turds floating in the Seine.
Man.
And people are supposed to...
And that was without the protests happening.
Right? And that's the thing is, what happens when these French people all hopped up on cappuccino and croissants decide to go take a big old carb poop?
That brie cheese has got to affect you somehow.
Right? That's a lot of fromage. Goodness gracious. I almost cursed in French. And can we do that? Can you get a violation for... profanity in another language?
I don't know.
I'm not going to test it. But
it's like the old Eddie Murphy when he said, yeah, the French, I think it was Eddie Murphy, said the French can make anything sound fancy.
Yeah, right? they literally painted a white stripe on a rapey cat and made it a cartoon. Make him, yeah, he goes, they just make it French and it's fine.
Yeah, you don't see a whole lot of Pepe Le Pew these days, do you?
You know what I mean? Like...
Does this frag smell funny?
Yeah. A lot of that going on. Go back and watch some cartoons from not that long ago, and folks, it gets a little dicey.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the last line of this AP article. Water quality of rivers in major cities can be impacted by many things, from runoff to dumping of chemicals, sometimes illegally, and boat traffic. As if to say, like, the Seine River's not bad, even though it's full of literal crap.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, Olympians, come swim.
It's, yeah. And but again, circling back to the whole, like, open body of water.
Yeah.
How do they, like, how does that count?
I mean, can they measure it, like, you know, in the track and field events where something is wind-aided, or, you know, can they measure the current and speed of that?
I mean, sure you can, but it's like, I've always wondered with, like, the Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are going to laugh. I have a lifetime goal of completing an Iron Man. I lose another human being of weight off me, and my knees somehow get replaced.
Yeah.
But
we'll have to go Steve Austin on you.
Exactly.
Not Stone Cold.
No. The other one. Yes. Billion Dollar Man. But I've always wondered, like, there's one in Coeur d'Alene where you swim the lake in Coeur d'Alene, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
Yeah.
But in Hawaii, you go out into the ocean.
Yes.
Like, I know we're measuring everybody in the ocean, but, like, not all waves are the same. Not all, like, riptides are the same. Like,
right.
There's so many, it's like, it's not a controlled body of water.
Exactly, yeah.
So how does that, like, can you set a world record in a triathlon? Like, no, that water temperature. Like, some people just, like, the water's real cold.
Yeah.
How are you going to get through that?
How do you account for uncontrollable variance?
It's super, super weird when I think that you brought that up. I'd never really thought about it in that vein, but yeah, but now I'm less worried about how the body of water aids or is detrimental
mm-hmm.
on the physical, like, stuff and more. I'm like, well, I guess in the physical stuff because, you know, crap and E. coli.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look, everybody's like, well, you swim with your mouth closed.
Yeah. You're still getting a little bit up there in your nose.
Oh God. That's not a fake gag. Yeah. Goodness gracious. All right. We're going to pivot back to free agency, in the NBA here in hour number three. Brian Windhorst was on ESPN earlier. And he had some, interesting things to say about the way the Clippers are conducting things around Paul George. Here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.